This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have gotten some incredible reaction to the last two episodes of the Paracast, where we're celebrating our 10th anniversary. Of course, we had 2 weeks ago a roundtable featuring people who had once been guest co-hosts of the show, such as Greg Bishop and Paul Kimball. We had Gogs McKay. Last week, we had a listener roundtable with Sue and with Ufology and with Stoneheart. And both, by the way, carried over to our After the Paracast podcast, which is part of the Paracast Plus. And I'll tell you all about that later. In any case, Chris, I don't know if you know about this. I got a letter from John Greenwald of the Black Vault, and he wasn't happy about something I said on the show. Now, maybe we should just add him to the list, because I get this from time to time. But in this case, it was about the brief time in which they posted the Project Blue Book files, and ended up being something that was, I guess, linked from another site or acquired from another site. Now, there have been, in the past, Project Blue Book posts online, so you can go online and see all the files that have been released publicly. But John felt, in this case, that what he had access to had a much better, more modern way of searching the data, which is fine. And some of us felt, though, that since we already had Project Blue Book online, maybe he was doing a little grandstanding, and I ragged on him for that. Maybe he should have emphasized in the stories that were quoted about him that this is not something new, it's just a better way of posting the Project Blue Book files. Well, he sent me a link to his original Facebook message on the subject. And yes, indeed, he pointed out that Project Blue Book files have previously been available, and he was only trying to do it in a better way. But evidently, the media, in quoting him, and we all know how that works, Chris, the media didn't mention that troubling fact that this was not something original, but simply a better way to put the things up. What's your position on that, Chris?
Well, I think this all occurred on the show with Alejandro. I wasn't on that show, unfortunately. You know, I think we owe it to people like John, who's I'm a huge fan of his. He's one of the few young people in the field. When I say young, I mean people below 40 years old. I think he just turned 30. He's been at this since he was 14. He is again. I can't say enough how much I admire the amount, the just incredible amount of work that he's done. He's already got over 1 million. Documents, FOIA documents online at the Black Vault. I think it's a wonderful resource for anybody who wants to get into researching and digging into this subject and find out from his, you know, get his side of things instead of assuming that he's grandstanding. I could see why, based on the newspaper coverage, why you anyone would think that. But again, just to set the record straight, I think it's a good journalistic practice to contact whomever it is that there might be some sort of question about. So I don't think he was grandstanding. He sent me a long email explaining exactly what the situation was, and I understand his indignation. And I think he overreacted a little, but still, he did express his indignation at not being contacted and asked directly. So I think that's a lesson to be learned.
Well, part of it is that I think his explanation on the Black Vault site was not as clear as it could have been.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's a large part of it, because it was not a question of what we didn't contact him. It was looking at the site, it wasn't altogether clear what the background was. And I think that didn't help. And maybe he should have been a little more careful. This is the past.
Yeah.
And let's hope they do find a better way. I mean, yes, if you Google Project Blue Book files, you'll find them. But a lot of these databases are really old. And this is the problem, for example, we have with the National UFO Reporting Center, where he's got a huge amount of information there, but he's using a 1992 database search engine.
Right.
And nowadays, you know, you put up online search engines, you could link to Google search, which is what we do on my tech site, technightowl.com. There are so many different ways to search for information. Our message forums have a very advanced search engine. And so these things need to be modernized so that we can really get the information we want, because it really makes it difficult.
That's one of the good things about his site, is it is very searchable and is very, very well set up.
We're going back to John Greenwald's site. We're not talking again about Peter Davenport's site. But, John is a young guy who's trying to make the information as accessible as possible. And he's gotten a lot of these Freedom of Information documents, which is very good. And by the way, he's got an ally here in the name of John Podesta, who's the head of Hillary Clinton's campaign. And he's been saying over and over again, and this is not something just for the campaign, he wants as much information released as possible from the government archives on UFOs. And Clinton, actually, I read her statement, and I thought she was just saying something to placate a reporter or a voter. But she seemed pretty serious about the subject. In fact, I did an editorial on it for the Paracast newsletter. Of course, if she's elected president, and we don't have President Trump or President Cruz or something, whether anything will come of it, I'm very doubtful.
Yeah, I am too. Although it is known that she did meet with Lawrence Rockefeller in Jackson Hole, I think it was 95, and she was holding a very interesting book titled Are We Alone? So, you know, there is, like Carter, like, Clinton, it's everybody don't hold your breath. It's pretty doubtful that anything is going to happen. And I will restate my position. I think most of this information is held in the private sector away from FOIA requests and prying eyes. So I think it's a real long shot.
And by the way, it's probably not on Hillary Clinton's private email server.
Well,
or maybe it's the ones that she deleted. Remember, she deleted the private emails before giving the government access, which is her privilege. But so that wasn't it. And by the way, just a final comment about the email controversy. Do you know that when Colin Powell was Secretary of State, he used an AOL account?
Right.
Now, where does anyone in their right mind believe that AOL is more secure than somebody's private email server? But let's just not do that. Let's get started with our guest. Chris, could you tell us about our guest? Because this is solid research, nuts and bolts ufology.
Well, I'm really happy that finally we have Phyllis Budinger on the show. I've been wanting to talk with Phyllis for many years, where our paths have not really crossed until recently. I finally got a chance to meet her. She has been working courageously behind the scenes for decades as an analytical chemist. She's been involved in testing some pretty notorious materials that have been, I guess, alleged to have some sort of potential connection to the UFO phenomenon, including the Delphos case, where we had a ring of fluorescing material that fluoresced quite a number of hours after the actual landing event in Delphos, Kansas. She was able to get a sample and test that. She worked with Nancy Talbot on the interesting claim by Robert van der Bolker about the piles of magnesium in these crop circles in Holland, a case that I really would like to talk to her about for my own personal interest in the unexplained livestock death phenomenon. She determined that pure hemoglobin was found on an animal that was investigated in Oregon. And the list goes on and on. And Phyllis has been someone, an unsung hero. She's not tried to create a cult of personality around herself. She's got the credentials and the work history of a true professional chemist. To have scientists like Phyllis involved in actually testing and analyzing materials that are alleged to be artifacts and material left behind by craft, I think is very, very important. And she's one of the few people that have actually gotten involved. So welcome to the show, Phyllis.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
We'll talk to Phyllis Buttinger in our next segment with Gene and Chris. Of course, you're in
the Paracast.
I know that a lot of our listeners are interested in UFOs, the issue of giant skeletons found in America, paranormal investigations, and what the top researchers think about such topics. One online magazine has been presenting such unusual information since 1985. It is Alternate Perceptions Magazine at apmagazine.info. Use their search function to find articles on just about every topic imaginable. That's apmagazine.info. Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
This is an important message to all listeners. If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS, the tax pros at OIC Tax want to help you. OIC Tax is dedicated to helping taxpayers just like you with their IRS problems.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS. I was working long hours and weekends just to make ends meet. To make matters worse, the IRS was about to garnish my wages, and I needed to file several years of back tax returns. Then I called the tax professionals at OIC Tax. They stopped the IRS from garnishing my wages. They even placed my account into the IRS's financial hardship program so I don't have to make any payments to the IRS. That's right, no payments to the IRS while I'm in this program.
Call OIC Tax today to see if you qualify for the IRS's hardship program. Call 800-272-9128. Call now and mention you heard this radio commercial and receive 10% off their already low fees. 800-272-9128. That number, 800-272-9128. Call now, 800-272-9128.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We have Phyllis Buttinger, who was in 2013 MUFON's Ufologist of the Year. And let's talk about her background. She has really an extensive background as a scientist. And then we'll get into some of the case histories that Chris is interested about. Phyllis, Ufologist of the Year, that's like getting an Oscar, isn't it?
Yeah, I was quite honored for that. I was surprised. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it there to get the award, but I certainly acknowledged the board of directors of MUFON, and I felt good about that.
Can you tell us about your scientific background and how that ultimately led to you getting interested in UFOs?
Okay, I'm a native Ohioan, and I've got a couple degrees in chemistry, a bachelor's and a master's. And I joined the petroleum company on graduation of getting the master's. And I went up through the ranks till I became a rank of research scientist, a title. And I had 35 years there. And what I did was I headed a group in the end specializing in a discipline called spectroscopy. And most of my industrial experience had been devoted to some facet of troubleshooting and problem solving for the businesses of this petroleum company. And it was not routine type analysis. While I had an experience in using spectroscopic techniques, for those who have a scientific background, it was infrared and nuclear magnetic resonance. I also had a working knowledge of most other analytical techniques. It was to me that they would bring the problems, and I would get the data and put it in front of me and put the puzzle together to solve the problem. And all this time, I had a lifelong interest in the mystery of the UFO phenomenon. I had contemplated and pretty much decided that I wanted to have a small laboratory just to look at the physical traces of anything related to the UFO event. For instance, I had read a lot of things, and I've never seen an analysis that I deemed was really very good at identifying things. Especially, I think what really interested me was the angel hair phenomenon. And I says, why didn't they run an infrared spectrum? Why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do that? And I said, I can do that. And so anyhow, it was the reason I wanted to get a good analysis on these materials. It was not to prove UFOs exist, because I think there's a lot of ample evidence for this with photographs, but I wanted to find out who is piloting these craft, and I wanted to find out something about them and the craft. So that's what got me into it. You wonder, why was I so interested in UFOs? It's because I've seen them on a few occasions. So, you know, that will spike your interest immediately when you see something unknown and can't explain. I'm trying to find out the why and how.
Well, I'd like to focus just briefly here on the sightings. So you've seen UFOs, obviously more than once, but maybe you have one case that seems to be the one that influenced you the most, or maybe there's more than one, but maybe you can tell us about it.
Well, of course, you're impressionable when you're a kid, and I had to be, I can't remember the age, it was around 10 to 12 years old when I came out of the neighbor's house with my parents, and about, I would guess the distance was, I would say 500 feet, maybe up 300, 400 feet up, I saw a craft with, it looked like two inverted pie plates, and I saw this, and it was gray in color, and as soon as I spotted, I was looking at it, and it boom, disappeared, blinked out, and that got my attention, and then there were other sightings after that. The second time that was impressive was in the mid-1990s, when I was sitting in a restaurant. It was a beautiful, clear sky. It was about 11 o'clock in the morning, not a cloud. And I saw a disc going across the sky at about as fast as a jet. It was going perfectly straight. And then all of a sudden, it blinked out. And when it blinked out, it's like you look at a light bulb and you see the negative impression of it. And it sort of bounced around and it disappeared. It was the other ones were iffy. I'm sure that I think they were UFOs, But I, you know, they were not that. They were a very far distance with multicolored lights on them and hovering. So that's about the type of things I saw, and quite inspired me to do what I'm doing.
Now, did you come to any conclusions about what was causing these things, or did you just accept it as something that's really weird?
Of course, I had been reading a lot over the years. I was, you might call it, armchair ufologist. I did not actively participate in the field at that time, but I had read quite a bit, and there was, I was pretty convinced that these were of another intelligence. What it is, I didn't know, but I knew it was somebody either visiting here or coming here dimensionally. And I became more convinced as I got actively involved talking to people, anything from the military to all people of all walks of life. And even my doctor saw one close up. So, you know, it was when you have that many witnesses. And when people heard of my interest, they would come up to me and tell me their experiences. And there were experiences in my own family where my aunt saw one land. And so, and my nephew saw one that blinked out.
The case involving a landing. And we have about a minute left with this segment, so we may want to pursue that. Can you briefly tell us about it?
My aunt saw one. She went to bed at night, and all of a sudden, the whole bedroom lit up. And she lived in a rural area. They had about 50 acres of land. And she saw this object, got up, saw this object just slowly land behind the woods and behind the trees and the distance away. And she didn't say anything until the next morning, and she told my uncle about it, and he did go out there, but I don't think he found anything. And this was years and years ago, so he didn't find anything. So, but she had seen something. So that's about all I know about it. And
this was also in Ohio?
Yes, uh-huh. This is, yeah, in Ohio, northeast Ohio.
Let's do our break now. We've got a lot more to talk about with Phyllis Budinger. She was MUFON's 2013 Ufologist of the Year. Of course, I never win awards. I actually won one journalism award one time. I don't want to boast about it because, you know, it was just a little thing, and I didn't get anything more than an email about it. In any case, with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free ReputationDefender.com.
reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Planning to buy food storage? Wait a minute. Many companies try to confuse you with the number of servings they sell. It's not about the number of servings. It's about the number of calories. In emergencies, calories mean survival. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com for a comparison of leading companies. Ready Supply Foods sells the most calories per dollar of any company. Our 23 entrees and breakfasts are delicious and full of nutritious calories. The new leader in value and quality. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com today.
Are you tired of the cold this winter? Are you prepared for the next blizzard or snowstorm? What will you do when the power and heat go off? That could be our future. Fortress Clothing's Bug Out Bag with our head-to-toe solution is your one-step answer to survival in the cold. It doesn't expire, it doesn't go bad, it's lightweight and mobile, and it doesn't just sit on the shelf waiting for an emergency. You can use Fortress today. Be warm and comfortable if you or your family work in the cold. Be warm and comfortable while you play, hunt, fish, camp, ski, paraglide, go sledding with the family, or just shovel the walks. You will never be cold again. FortressClothing.com is the answer. Your emergency preparedness solution to the cold. Your solution to working or playing in the cold. Visit us at FortressClothing.com and enter radio. Buy now and receive your 20% off discount. You will never be cold again. FortressClothing.com. It could save your life one day.
This is Sharon Hunt. Before using Heart and Body Extract, my energy level was very, very low. I could only walk a few feet and then would have to sit down. I was tired and lethargic. But after taking Heart and Body Extract, my energy level has improved greatly, and I can now walk longer distances without getting tired so fast. Thank you, Heart and Body Extract.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at HBExtract.com.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Chris, have you ever won an award for anything?
Well, yeah, actually I have. In 2012, I co-produced a compilation film called It Could Happen Tomorrow, which distilled about 25 hours of dialogues between ufologists on disclosure down to a 75-minute piece. And we won the International UFO Congress Evie Awards for Best Feature Film and the People's Choice Award. So I've got two alien Oscars that I keep on the lower shelf facing the wall because they kind of creep me out.
Well, hey, it's like the Oscars, as close as you can get in this field. Phyllis Budinger is with us, and we were talking to her about her background in investigating UFO cases. Yeah. Now, say I'm coming into this as a skeptic, and I say, Phyllis, if you had one case to present with evidence that would demonstrate once and for all something weird is really going on, something that you've personally investigated, what case would you talk about?
Well, I think some of the highly visible cases, the Delphos, Kansas case, the Betty Hill dress, and those are the most well-known cases, and I'm convinced something happened. Now, I cannot prove anything. I can't prove it's alien, but the substances that I found shouldn't have been there. I find things that shouldn't be there, and there's no explanation for why they should be there, and it's bizarre. It's something, I know something bizarre has happened, and why is that? Why did this happen, and why is this there? And so, anyhow, those two cases stand out. There's another case that happened in Poland that has me perplexed. That is an interesting one. It came through BLT research, but it's a case where a UFO landed and deposited vitrified rock. And this vitrified rock it was observed by a old grandmother. This is a rural area in Poland, and she happened to be awake at night. And she was in her bedroom. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, and she saw this red object slowly, very slowly descend way at the end of the field. She told her family about it. She lived with her son and his family the next morning, and her teenage grandson went back there to check it out, and he saw flattened grass, and he saw in a circle, an elliptical circle, these stones. So he took one stone back to the farmhouse, and he went with a wheelbarrow the next day to get the stones, and they were gone. And nobody knew about them. They hadn't told anybody. And so they were completely gone. But this stone, sort of reminiscent of the Delphos effect, this stone glowed for 6 months.
Wow.
And I happened to look at that with a good friend of mine. He's the late Nick Ryder, who has done a lot of work in the UFO field, too. And it was found to be vitrified soil. And it was not from that area. It was from some other area because we looked at the control soils from that land. You know, I have no explanation. It's perplexing. Why would vitrified soil be put there and then disappear and be deposited and obviously deposited from somewhere else? So,
were you able to determine what was the cause of the fluorescing or glowing?
I have speculations and theories, just like. I think it was the same effect that caused the glowing of the Delphos ring. These craft apparently have a field around them, an ionizing field. People smell ozone. Well, that's because it's probably causing oxygen in the air to form ozone. Some claim nitrates are around. So, therefore, it also would cause the material, like in Delphos, that was being deposited to probably fluoresce or chemiluminesce for a day or so. And I think the same effect happened with these rocks, that they were exposed to this field and that they glowed or chemiluminesced for quite a while. So that's my speculation.
Right. Why don't we see more of that in the literature? We have quite a number of, you know, alleged landing cases from all over the world from the 40s on. Of course, they've been, I think, they're not landing as much apparently as they used to. But we only have a number of cases where fluorescent material has been observed and left behind. The Delphos case and the case in Poland that you mentioned are notable ones. But
yeah.
Are there any other cases?
Not that I know of. The only other ones... that I know of that it's not chemiluminescing, but it's, like I mentioned, is the formation of ozone, or people, there's been a number of people claim that they have smelled ozone in the air if they've been anywhere near these things. So I think it's all the field on this craft is causing this. So that's my speculation.
Yeah. Well, we have about 3 minutes for the segment, but let me ask you kind of an outsider question here. Any possibility the craft that's putting forth this effect might actually be some kind of test aircraft instead of something that may have a possible alien origin?
Well, that's a pure speculation. I'm not going to rule it out, but I think these craft have been seen for a long time, and maybe some are. I don't think Delphos was.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, when we come back, let's go ahead and give some of our newer listeners who may not be familiar with the Delphos case a thumbnail sketch of it, and then describe what you did to somehow almost magically obtain one of the few rare samples that existed that were gathered from the case. It's an interesting story how you got that particular sample. But let's go ahead and give our new listeners a better understanding of the case.
Let's do this here. We have about a minute and a half, 2 minutes. Phyllis, why don't you start with a brief on the Delphos, Kansas case, and then we can explore it further in our next segment. If you go on for about 2 minutes or so, I think it'll work fine. Go ahead, please.
Okay, well, probably should explain the case. I can set the stage. It's in Delphos, Kansas, which is a very small population. Back then, it's about 370. And it happened on November 2nd, 1971, in the evening, about 7. It was a full moon and a clear sky. And a teenager, 16-year-old Ron Johnson, was tending to his sheep. And his mom had just called him in for dinner. And suddenly he heard a sound like an old washing machine which vibrates. And about 25 yards away, he saw a mushroom-shaped object which was hovering 2 to 5 feet from the ground, roughly 9 feet in diameter and 10 feet high, with a mass of multicolored lights covering its surface. And it seemed to be depositing a shimmering material. And the UFO remained several minutes. Then the glow of the base of the object at the base, it brightened and enlarged. And then it departed with a real high-pitched sound. And the sound was like a jet aircraft. He was blinded for several minutes. And when his sight came back, he saw the UFO departing and was going to the south. He was very frightened. He got his parents and brought them out, and they all three witnessed it departing.
Okay, we will continue with the 1971 Delphos, Kansas UFO landing and the aftermath, which is just fascinating. Listeners, I'm going to urge you to take a peek at plus.theparacast.com. That is a real internet address, plus.theparacast.com, to learn more about our premium package and about our exclusive After the Paracast podcast. Phyllis Bunninger will be back on the other side with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Conspiracy Journal is your number one source for the hidden world of the weird and strange. We bring you thought-provoking and controversial material for free-thinking individuals who are seeking what is really going on in our world today. Some of this material may adversely affect you. Other pieces are meant to enlighten. Either way, be prepared to be intrigued by such things as the reality of UFOs, ghosts, strange creatures from time and space, hidden conspiracies, time travel, Nikola Tesla, suppressed technology, and a whole lot more. You can find out more by visiting our website at conspiracyjournal.com. There you can sign up for our free weekly newsletter sent directly to your email address. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't take on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
I'm Jesse Gonzalez, Vice President of Kmart. Do you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies in the United States, or that survivors can face a lifetime of serious health problems? But you can help. Join me in Kmart for the March for Babies Walk. We'll work together to raise funds for research and programs that help the Marchandines fight premature birth and birth defects and improve the health of moms and babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
My name is Don Wiskin. In 1994, I lost my 62-year-old father to complications of bypass surgery. In 1977, my 44-year-old brother was found dead in his apartment. He suffered a heart attack. In January of 98, my mother had a stroke and passed away in her bed. 21 days later, my 53-year-old brother passed away on his arrival to the hospital. He waited too long. In June that same year, I almost joined them at 42. What did I do? I took a 7-herb formula I now call Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, hawthorn, milk thistle, and valerian. Based on German studies of natural medicine, Extendivite is designed to clear blocked arteries, clean the toxins from your blood, and improve your immune system. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website, heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Don't know what's in your drinking water? Better get a ProPure. With the Pro 1 G2.0 all-in-one filter, remove over 200 contaminants, including fluoride and lead. Taste water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure water filtration products. There's a ProPure system for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details on our current free shipping special or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we're talking here about one of the spectacular cases of UFO history, 1971, Delphos, Kansas, a 16-year-old boy. And I see a picture of him here with this really nice-looking white dog.
Mm-hmm. His dog was there, too. Okay. He was at the site, yeah.
Too bad the dog's not around. Is Ron Johnson still around to talk about this?
Ron Johnson is still around. He's now, late 50s or so, and he will not talk about the case. He doesn't want anything to do with it. And, in fact, he has covered the landing site, the circle that was left, and he covered it up. But that's it. I think the only person he would talk to about it would be Ted Phillips, who is the principal investigator of the case. And, by the way, you were mentioning John Greenwald's Black Vault website. He has archived about 60 of my reports. Unfortunately, I have not sent the rest to him. I had a personal illness at the time, and I have not sent got back to that, but they are archived, 60 of my reports, on the Black Vault website. So if anyone wants to wade through all the analysis of some of these, you can go there.
I would recommend that. Did he talk to you, Ron Johnson, or does that mean he caught up contact with everyone?
No. This was all Ted Phillips did all of the investigating on this, and I've never talked to him. And I've worked with Ted Phillips on we had long discussions on this, and I've met Ted. Ted's been here a few times, and he did an excellent job of sample collecting. But this, at a time, I analyzed the samples about, 27 years later after I found them. And this was actually my introduction resume into the analysis of UFO-related substances. I was about to retire, and I decided I was going to do this, and so you pick a very good case to investigate or to analyze, and I got a hold of Ted Phillips, and it was very funny. Well, he says, I don't know where there's any samples. And I went to a meeting in Ohio, at the first MUFON meeting, as a matter of fact, and I met a man there. You might know him. He's an icon. It was John Timmerman. And John Timmerman, who has recently passed away, came up and started talking to me, and that man was amazing. He had all the information about me and what I was doing and so forth inside of 15 minutes. And I mentioned the Delphos samples. He says, oh, he said, I have some of those in my carport garage. And he lives, by the way, near Delphos, Ohio, which was kind of funny. But anyway, he says, I can send them to you. And he had a lot of physical trace evidence, as I understand, because he was on the CUFOS board of directors or whatever. He was involved with that, and they moved their office, so he took all the physical trace evidence and stored it at his home. And so that's how I got the samples. But fortunately, I was still working. I was about to leave, and the lab was moving to another city, too. And so I had the workload was down, and so I had advantage of and access to just about any analytical instrument I wanted, and people were running some of the tests for me. So I really did an in-depth analysis on it. I think there's a 50, 60 page report on it. But, yeah, so it was, that's basically the story. I don't know if when I was discussing the base, the background of the case, if I mentioned that you already alluded to it, that the ring was glowing. We've mentioned that previously. And there was luminescence on the trees. But his parents touched the ring, and they had numbing effects. And his mother's numbness lasted to the day she died in the 1990s. And she took a picture with a Polaroid camera, and it took about an hour after the deposit was laid down. And it was glowing, and the light of the glowing, she had no flash. The light of the glowing was enough to show the ring, which I thought was interesting. But anyway, personally, I call this the toxic waste dump event because of the problems it caused the parents.
Well, I had forgotten that detail, that they had gotten numbness that lasted years. I totally forgot about that. Were there any sort of determinations made by medical people?
I don't have that information.
Because that's very unusual.
Well, there was a toxic material in there, and as I analyzed it, I could speculate that the deposit consisted of fulvic acids, which is really a water-soluble humate, and it had oxalic acid. And I think the oxalic acid was what caused the numbness and the burn, because that is rather toxic if you touch it. Now, some of these materials are degradation products of plant material, but this was in too high of concentrations to have been, deposited by plant. It was deposited as a liquid, a water solution, and all the controls samples around it did not have these materials.
When you're analyzing something like this, which is several decades old, mm-hmm. and we all talk about chain of custody, obviously there are a strong possibility here that whatever you got was probably contaminated along the way, wouldn't you think?
Well, these were tightly sealed in film canisters, and they were taken, and there was information with them. They were taken by Ted Phillips 2 months after the event. And not only that, Ted is from Missouri, and he was a civil engineer at the time. It was packed in Missouri roadmap fragments. And he acknowledged that, he took those, and his handwriting was on them. And so I'm pretty sure that was the real McCoy, yeah.
Those were the samples that were given J. Allen Hynek, if I remember correctly. Of course, he was the one that started the Center for UFO Studies, mm-hmm. where the samples were obtained by Timmerman. Now, Hynek, I recall seeing pictures of Hynek and Phillips at the site, and the one, you know, there are several things about the case that are quite interesting. One is the impact on the environment that particular event had. It adversely affected the environment for decades, if not permanently.
Nothing would grow there.
Mm-hmm. And it also impacted nearby vegetation. But the other thing is the fact that the glow was there almost a full day.
Yeah.
After that, which is that is a real head scratcher in and of itself. So, what kind of test did you perform? Gas spectrometer.
I just put about everything into it. I don't have the report in front of me, but if you want the whole analytical. Anagrams, what do I want to speak? There was infrared. There was nuclear magnetic resonance. There was ICP, which is inductively coupled plasma for elemental. There was EDS, which is also another elemental technique. I did extractions. I can't remember if we did any chromatography on that. I have to look up. There was UV.
Now, did you find anything in the test results from Delphos that could be a potential tie-in with the Poland case? Were there any similarities? Were there any commonalities, if you will?
Just the after effects, the glowing. That was the only thing. Those, as far as physical substances were, no, there was no. These were two different things. So that's what I'm thinking is giving a clue to the propulsion system of these things.
We're going to do our break now. Let me remind you, we have a second radio show called After the Paracast. The only way to get it is to subscribe to the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com. We also offer an ad-free version of this show with better audio quality. We're going to start adding ad-free versions of the original classic episodes of the Paracast plus.theparacast.com. Phyllis Bunninger is with us. Nuts and bolts, UFO research, more to come with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.